Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rock and roll, meow.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
We ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as it is 4:40 on a beautiful Monday, and that means our guy Brandon Scott in for his Texans report. And I do want to get to the Texans. They did make a move today. Interesting to get your thoughts on it and everything going on with the Texans. But you also do the Rockets report.
Yep.
And I do personally think this Kevin Durant situation is this lingering story of how long this goes that the Rockets are right in the middle of is a big thing. We just talked about on the other side that the Rockets have currently, reports, kept Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason off limits. Before we get any further, you surprised of that? We all thought Amen Thompson and maybe Shingun off limits. Are you surprised Jabari Smith and Tari Eason are off limits?
I'm not surprised because that's smart negotiation, right? Not necessarily make them off limits. And if I'm negotiating and if I'm on the Rocket side of things, I feel like I've got all of the leverage here. You know, I've got your picks. I've got all of these young players. Like, pick your poison on how you want me to make your team better to do this trade that you're going to do one way or another. So that's what it comes down to. Like, from the Rocket side, I've got the most to offer.
So you don't think they're really off limits? You could see them being... Like, I think Amen Thompson's off limits, right?
I don't think that they're actually off limits. I think that that's a negotiation tactic and that you're going to do the best that you can. Maybe you flirt with those picks. Like, what do you value more, your future or Jabari Smith Jr.? Maybe I sell you more on the 2027 pick, which some people don't want to give up. Maybe some people would rather give up Jabari than the 2027 pick. View it as more valuable. But how do you view it? There's more than one way to get this done. So I don't think that they're actually off limits, but it's smart to want to keep as many players that you like as possible, especially when you have all of these draft picks and you're dealing with the team whose draft picks they are. Yeah. Like, I think that part is important.
B. Scott, I just asked Ron this question. Like, in my crazy, as you start kind of seeing the reports, it just seems like two things. One, if Gobert, DiVincenzo, and Dillingham is the sweetest package they got right now, if the Rockets can't top that, it's because they don't want to. Number one. Number two, it seems like the Rockets have the most pieces, and there's a lot of moving parts, but the most pieces in the conversation to quote-unquote sweeten the pot to get there.
Yeah, so the Gobert thing, I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't know what to read. Because here's the thing with the Gobert thing. If that's real, then that is – I think that that's actually the sweetest package. Like, you get
– really?
Yeah, I really do. Like, unless it's a
– what, the Gobert?
I mean, yeah, unless
well, they you said talk, it was.
Unless you're starting to, you know, talk about him in Thompson or something like that, something that we've already decided is off the table. But, yeah, Gobert to me changes the calculus. I just don't really buy into that. I know that's out there. But I don't buy into it just for the simple fact that Kevin Durant has made it clear that he doesn't want to go there. And it just makes more sense for him to want to end up at one of these spots that he does want to go to that also have the assets to get him.
Yeah.
The places he wants to go can get him. Houston, San Antonio. And we hear that San Antonio is not as active, but if they want him, they can get him.
They've got the pieces.
Miami. So, like, all of these other places that he actually wants to go and would be willing to sign an extension at, not actually be a one-year rental, those places can get him. So I don't really buy into it as much. But if it is real, then that changes the calculus to me.
All right. As Clint just talked about, they're saying the best package they see. Rudy Gobert, 32 years old. Dante DiVincenzo, a role player, but a good player. And then Rob Dillingham, who just finished his first year, little point guard from Kentucky.
You got to think about it from the Suns' standpoint. Are they trying to Are they trying to tear this thing down, or are they actually just trying to retool and try to be good next year? And I could see how they could convince themselves that a Devin Booker, Rudy Gobert-led team would be at least a middling team in the Western Conference. I don't necessarily buy into it, but we understand that Ishbia over there in Phoenix has had some, let's say, some growing pains in being a new owner, doesn't actually quite get it. I could see them making that mistake, but I also could see the logic in it.
Yeah, it was reports Houston's willing to include Jalen Green in this thing, but the Suns won't know parts of it.
Yeah, I also don't necessarily buy into that.
Talking about the fit with Devin Booker is what the report.
I think that's the key part. It's less about not wanting Jalen Green as just seeing the redundancy in his game and him as a potential asset, like his contract. Like Jalen Green, for what his potential is and what that contract is that he signed with the Rockets last offseason, is a pretty valuable trade asset at this point, whether it's the Rockets or if it's the Phoenix Suns acquiring him for the Rockets, or anybody that has that contract. So like, it seems like such a knock on Jalen Green because it's like, you know, nobody wants him or he's kind of like this lost player. He's definitely got some things that he's got to figure out.
Why don't he want me, man?
And he does feel like a man without a country right now because the team that's got him has got him, you know, floated out there in trade rumors. The team that could trade for him potentially doesn't want him. But there's still some usefulness in Jalen Green, if or not his contract alone.
Yeah.
What are you jumping over to the Texans? You ready to make that move? Jumping over to the Texans, they made a move.
Yes!
The Texans have signed XFL Roughnecks corner Raiders first and former Raiders first round draft pick Damon Arnett Jr. Just your thoughts on the Texans bringing in a corner, that corner specifically. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is an important low risk move that's not terribly to me. Not terribly dissimilar to what they did last week with Nick Chubb. Now, we're talking about two totally different type of characters, two totally different types of players. I understand that difference. But in terms of the low-risk, high-reward potential, like Nick Chubb, obviously, if he's Nick Chubb, could be your top running back, right? We don't expect this guy, Damon Arnett, to be your top anything, right? I understand that.
Right.
But if he can just come in there and do simply what they're signing him to do, which is just do your job. You're not the 19th overall pick in the 2020 draft anymore. Forget all of that.
Yeah.
You don't have like this
reserve
is a
corner.
You're a reserve corner, and you were the 19th pick in the 2020 draft for a reason. So like, you're a cornerback. You're a professional cornerback. If you can keep your head on straight, if you can keep your head and just focus, you are a professional NFL cornerback. Just come here and do that and be that. And if he's that, he answers what I think is still an important question for the Texans. Not just like that position group. I think about the cornerback position. It's really the only position group where I've got the question about depth. I got questions about the high end and the talent on certain position groups, but y'all were talking about this earlier with the offensive line, perhaps coming out of mini camp and coming out of OTAs feeling like, oh, maybe they got the depth at offensive line, even if they don't have the dudes. I feel like that is the case across the board except for cornerback. Like, there's just absolutely no depth there. And the Ronald Darby thing caught them by surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you understand why they're in this position, why they would go after a guy like this, even if it's not under the most ideal circumstances. So it's a low risk, potentially medium to high reward type of situation.
Jimmy Ward done?
I can't see how he's not, man. I can't see how he's not if the accusation is like it. I was talking about this with a couple of other people at an event the other night. A couple of other people that cover the Texans, and it's like, there's a lot of nuance to what's going on here with Jimmy Ward, but the part where there isn't is like, did you choke this woman or not? Like, and that's a hard, obviously hard question to answer today, right? Like, he's just barely been charged since last week. This thing's got to kind of play itself out. But like, do the Texans think that he choked this woman? Right? And if they do, they're going to let him go. Yeah. You know, it feels kind of as simple as that. Like, and you can already see from a football standpoint, we've already sort of painted the picture of phasing Jimmy Ward. Like, we understand his leadership role, the mentality, the attitude, his understanding of the defense, his connection to D'Amico Ryans.
That's going to kick rocks right there.
Well, we understand that to be the value of having him around. I guess that's why they would extend him the way that they did last year. Everybody thought that contract extension was curious to begin with. But that's the reason why. But they also kind of phased him out by, obviously having the emergence of Kalen Bullock And I don't think that they need him as much as they did before. So what's the, you talk about risk reward, like what is the reward of having a guy that is accused of strangling a woman who's like kind of playing for you and is supposedly carrying some type of captain leadership role?
Yeah.
Is that the message you want to send in terms of leadership? Attitude reflect leadership, right? So like, it's one of those things, and we understand the McNair family historically, like, that's not really the waters that they like to wade in, you know? So I think he's done.
Yeah, that'd be tough. What'd you think on my take yesterday on the running back position? How'd you feel about that?
Yeah, so
best case scenario.
I think that is the best case scenario, that Nick Chubb is, because you preface it basically like Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb.
Yeah, or some the best close, of both dudes.
Some close, yeah, right. Okay, so the best of both dudes. The best of both dudes would be Nick Chubb is your top running back, and maybe even your offense looks a lot different if you got a Nick Chubb. Like,
yeah,
that just hasn't been an imagination of the Texans for a very long time, if ever, quarterback like Nick Chubb specifically. So that is the best case scenario. I agree with that, but I also don't necessarily think it's a realistic scenario.
Probably ain't.
Or something that you can expect from Nick Chubb. Not. Like, the best case realistic scenario is that you do get some version of Nick Chubb that can do a lot of the things that you're talking about. But more so to my point, Clint, it's like, can spell Joe Mixon, and I've been on this for a while, but like, the workload that Joe Mixon had last year is not the workload that he needs to have this year, and ideally is not the workload that he has if Nick Chubb is right. And even if you hadn't signed Nick Chubb, you'd hopefully find an answer. If it ain't Damian Pierce, if we've already given up on that dream, maybe it's Woody Marks. You got to find an answer somewhere there. To me, it would be unacceptable for Joe Mixon to carry a similar workload this year as he did last year.
Well, the interesting thing is you're right. We went into it. I know it's far-fetched. It's an extreme long shot.
I'll dream with you. I'll dream with you, Clint.
Ron's point was even more valid, really, was even if it is the case and we get the better, like a crazy, lucky, good version of Nick Chubb, like, I don't think the Texans would ever go in there and go like, hey, Joe, I need you to be this kind of second-hand, third down back, more of a spread offense back. Like, that would be that move ever happening would be
a healthy Joe to get to a point of Joe going into the games or thoughts is like the second one in terms of touching.
Well, not being the first one on the field. Period. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Because to get to that point, they're never going to be. I think Joe's smart. I don't think Joe's ever going to be like, oh, well, he had more carries than me. No, I mean, the game dictates a different flow, but the reality of it is who walks their ass out there to start that game.
Yeah,
and that would be a tough pill for Joe Mixon to swallow if that ever weren't him.